Pastor Bethany Church, is it Ekru?
Ekru.
Okay, Ekru, Mississippi. Lord bless you, brother.
Help me up these steps.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
There we go.
Good evening. It's a good evening. It was a good afternoon. It was a good morning, but it sure was a rainy. We thank the Lord for safe travels from our home in Northeast Mississippi. I live in a little community called Randolph. And look, Brother Marty says, you know, you have to be careful to define your destinations of where there's more than one Randolph. Several states got Randolphs. I know I've looked upon the rap destinations, and they got Randolph this, Randolph that, and so there's many places. It's good to be here. Good to see some old faces. Well, I didn't mean to insult you, call you old, but maybe I should have used the word familiar faces. So. Anyway, it's good to be back at Piney Grove Church, and good to see you good brothers and sisters again, and our preacher brothers, Brother Niall. Appreciate his ministry and all of your ministers here. Pray for me for a little while as I stand before you, give the physical strength and liberty to say something in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As Brother Niall said, you need the Lord no matter how many sessions this is, as you did the very first time. I've preached a lot of times, and I have always needed the presence of the Lord. And I trust we're here trusting in Him for His deliverance, the one that was a surety for us. You know, Judah volunteered to be a surety for Benjamin. And he said, I'll be surety for him, and if I fail to bring him back to you and present him, let me bear the blame forever. Well, Jesus certainly don't have to worry about bearing the blame forever, because he has done what the Lord told him to do, in which he volunteered and obligated himself to do. In the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, I believe the Apostle Paul is the author of these scriptures. Well, I guess the Holy Spirit is the author, but he's the writer. But as all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. He says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. We want to examine the scriptures for a little while on Jesus was made like unto his brethren. He was made like unto his brethren, and we need to be like him in our lives, and then one day we really will be like him. But he says here that it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. The word behooved meant he had an obligation. He took that obligation and responsibility upon himself. And it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. In what sense is he made like unto his brethren? Well, there's more than one sense he's made like unto his brethren. To be that merciful and faithful high priest. And the purpose was to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. To bring back into divine agreement between God and his people. You know, Amos said in 3:3, who can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, it just can't be done. Two cannot walk together except they be agreed. That song, may Zion's good be kept in view, we left. Are here gathered together, I trust, like they were on the day of Pentecost, in one mind and one accord. And the Holy Ghost came down, and I know that was a miraculous occasion, but you know, the Holy Ghost can come down here in this building, and I don't think you're going to be speaking with new tongues, or, but you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, the Scripture says, pray for the Holy Ghost. And when I say Holy Ghost, I think there's no difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. You know, my first cousin's son asked him one time, what about that ghost in the Bible, Daddy? And he says, you know, the Bible doesn't say anything about ghosts. He said, what about that Holy Ghost? Well, that is a ghost in the Bible, but it's not one with sheets and spooky. It's one that fills the people of God. And pray for that Holy Spirit to come. He says, he made likened to his brethren. Who is the brethren? Well, if you'll read the preceding verses, you'll see that in verse 11, he says, both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. You know, I think sometimes the Lord's children are ashamed to call him their elder brother, but he's not ashamed to call us brethren, even when we're dead in sins. We're still brethren. Your relationship goes all the way back. That's why he's our elder brother. He's got brethren. He tells us in Romans 8 and 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestined make to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He's got many brethren out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people. And we're thankful that we feel like a hope that we're among those brethren, and we're among the brethren here today. Now, you sisters, don't get too offended, because when we have brethren, he's talking about the sister in his way. Because we're all one in Christ Jesus, the Lord. We're sons and daughters, if you please. And he is by choice. And so he has made in the likeness of men. Verse 14 of this same chapter. He says, for in much then as the children are partakers in flesh and blood, he likewise took part of the same. He was made likened to his brethren. He took part of the same. He was made flesh and blood. It was flesh and blood that violated the law of God in the Garden of Eden. It had to be a flesh and blood individual to come and fulfill the law of God. And love is the fulfilling of the law. And this was the greatest demonstration of love and grace that has ever been known to humanity. He says in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. Amen. You know, I think this house is filled with a lot of rich people here tonight. You may not have a big bank account. You may not be driving a Cadillac or any of the finer things of life in the eyes of the world. But if we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and he died for me, I'm the richest individual that ever was. You can take away all the material belongings, and it can be taken away, but you can't take away the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in your heart forever. And we're thankful that we can have that knowledge. He was made a partaker of flesh and blood. But yet, he just took part of the same. He had blood coursing throughout his veins. He breathed. He slept. He did all these things that you and I do. But the Bible says he was made flesh and blood, but he didn't partake of the sin that this flesh and blood body partakes of. Because Jesus wasn't conceived by the union of Joseph and Mary. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. He was conceived of something that cannot sin. And therefore, he tells his disciples in John chapter 14, about the last verse, he says, the prince of this world cometh, but he hath nothing in me. Now, there was nothing in Christ for Satan to appeal to. There was no sin about him, but he was a flesh and blood individual. We read over it, he was made likened to his brethren. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, he says, but this is talking about Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, took up himself on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He was made in your likeness, but without the likeness of sin. We have a high priest, he tells us over in Hebrews 4:15, that is passed into the heavens, and he cannot, which means he can, be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Yes, Jesus was made like you and I in his flesh and blood body. He was made like you and I in that he was tempted with sin. You know all that in the fourth chapter of Matthew, the account of his temptation after he had been baptized. He was led immediately, the scripture says, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when Satan come, he had nothing in Christ. He had nothing in Christ to appeal to. But I'll tell you what, he appeals to me and he got something to appeal to. Because Paul says, I know in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, but not in the fleshly body of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible tells us in Colossians 2:9, he says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him, I don't know how full that is, but it sure is full. It is the Godhead in his body, that flesh and blood individual. He was made in the likeness of a sinful flesh, but without the sin of flesh. He was met with that temptation and was successful on every occasion. He was made in the likeness of sinful men to make reconciliation. He's a merciful and faithful high priest. Aren't you glad you got somebody that's faithful? Aren't you glad that the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he says, there had no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Yeah, he makes a way of escape that you be able to bear it. He doesn't take away what you're going through, but he makes a way of escape that you may be able to what? That seems like a contradiction. A way of escape, but you're still able to bear it. Yeah. How? By the grace of God. That's the only way you'll bear it. That's the only way that this, my daughter-in-law's grandfather passed away, and they had his military funeral this week. And, of course, she said, I'm just so devastated. And, of course, I've heard sisters tell me that, and brothers too. They said, Brother Larry, I could not get through this except God be with me, except for God's grace. Because that was not the end. That's not the end for those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, that's just the beginning for the child of God. Why? Because of this merciful and faithful high priest that was made like unto his brethren. You know, Jesus came to the grave of Lazarus, and the Bible says he wept. There's a different speculation of why he was wept, but I know it was at a death scene where he did weep. But he said, and even Mary and Martha didn't know. He said, Lord, we know he'll live again, but in the resurrection. But he was going to live again and right immediately when the Lord spoke to him. That merciful and faithful high priest, because he was one of the brethren that was made like unto his brethren. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus wept. You know, that used to be what all the students would pick when they wanted to memorize a verse, when they allowed that in school. Jesus wept. It's not hard to remember that, is it? It's not hard to remember Jesus wept. And so you want to pick something easy. You know, sometimes when they went to junior college, I did, a lot of the students, mostly athletes, they would pick music appreciation. Why? Because you get credit for it, but you didn't have to do a whole lot of work. So it was more of the easy path, so to speak. Yes, Jesus was subject, like as we are, with all passions, except there was no sin about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was made like unto his brethren. Now, let's switch gears for just a minute. And we, as the recipients of God's grace, I trust that we want to be like our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can forget about being like him in the fact that you're not going to be sinless. Because the scripture says in John, he says, he that saith he has no sin deceiveth himself, and the truth is not in him. So we can't say we have no sin. You know, the husband that will tell you, me and my wife have been married 30 years and never had a cross word, they'll lie about other things too. So he tells us, you know, we're all sinners by nature and by practice. But we need to be like Jesus in the fact that we can resist Satan, that we can follow the commandments of God, because that's what Jesus did. He said, you're going to leave me, talking to his disciple. You're going to leave me alone, but I'm not alone. The Father has not left me alone, John 8:29, because I always do those things that please him. He was obedient unto death. I didn't finish that out in Philippians 2 a moment ago. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Something that you and I could not do. Men and women have died all along. But that death, it could never atone for sin. Animals, I don't know how many were sacrificed in the Old Testament, but thousands upon thousands upon thousands, but not one single drop of those bloods of those beasts and animals could do what Jesus did as a merciful and faithful high priest. We made like unto his brethren. So we want to be like Jesus. And we got that which is in us to crucify the old man and put away our old man and put on the new man, which after God is created in true righteousness and holiness, to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes children want to be like their fathers, or mother want to be like their mothers. You know, I just saw on Andy Griffith's show before we left home this morning that Opie was sitting by his daddy, Andy, and they was leaning up against the log. Opie laid up against the log. Andy crossed his legs. Opie crossed his legs. He pulled up a stick off the ground. Opie did the same. He was emulating his dad. I remember my father used to have a handkerchief in the back pocket, and he never would push it all the way in. It'd be half in, half out. Well, I'd try to put a handkerchief in my pocket and leave it half in and half out. I was trying to be like my daddy. But the trouble is, my daddy was a sinner, but not the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be like him. Now then, finally, in the last part, we want to see that even though Jesus was made in the likeness of sinful flesh and was made like unto his brethren, one day those brethren are going to be just exactly like him. Now, a lot of people object to predestination, but I've already read the scripture, and who would object to being like Jesus Christ and being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, which I've already told you, that we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Won't that be a glorious day? And then we'll be like him. You know, John tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, he said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And beloved, now are we the sons of God. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to be a son of God. That's now. God's a now God. Same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We'll see him as he is. However that is, we'll see him as he is. As our Redeemer. You know, Job said in 19 and 25, I know my Redeemer liveth. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though my skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. He knew something about a Redeemer, and the Redeemer still had not come to earth, had not been made like unto his brethren. But the Lord had revealed something about the Redeemer. You know, David said in Psalm 17:15, he says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I'll behold thy face." Job will see it, and I hope that I'll see it. He says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. And when I awake with thy likeness, I shall be satisfied." Awake. Yeah, when the Lord speaks, you're going to wake out of the grave. Just like the Lord spoke to Lazarus and he awoke and he was given a new natural life. But the Lord's going to speak to all those that are in the graves and they're going to be given immortal life. Mortal must put on immortality. And then we'll be like him. Philippians 3:21. He says, "Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." He's able to subdue all things. And one day he's going to put everything completely under him. You know, the last enemy is death, isn't it? And the Bible says he must reign. You know, people are looking for the Lord to come back and reign. Well, according to Paul, he's reigning right now. Amen. "For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." The last enemy, that'll be my last enemy, is death. "But, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" No victory. Why? Because there's victory in Jesus Christ. Oh, victory in Jesus. Yes, there's victory in Jesus Christ. Paul said, "Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord." God bless you is our prayer. One day we hope to be like him. Goes up, must come down.